Tim Skubick, who's on the other end of our line. Tim, how are you?
Did you ever understand the title of that Chicago song, 25 or 6 to 4?
You know, I didn't, and I really liked them as a band.
I loved them. They were great, but that title just went right over my head. There must have been a hidden meaning, and maybe it was a combination to their high school locker.
You know, I'm going to Google that and find out, but we don't, you know, I never thought I'd say stuff like this, Tim, but we just don't have music like that anymore. Man, that band used to jam.
I know. All the stuff that Chicago did was just great. So they're still out there. They're trooping around.
Yeah, I know.
Along with the Beach Boys. Yeah,
there they go.
There's hope for us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You've been covering the rulings from the Supreme Court and how they affect Michigan. Tell us about those stories.
What Supreme Court ruling?
The Supreme Court ruling, number one, that is forthcoming about insurance. And
oh, well, look, you have to look at this story from two perspectives. Obviously, one from the healthcare perspective. Everybody in the healthcare community is wondering, after Thursday, what is life going to be like? Okay, and obviously, it's going to be one way or the other. And then, in our world, it's the politics of this. This clearly is the centerpiece of what Mr. Obama has done for the last 4 years. It was his top agenda item. And to have it tossed out by the Supreme Court, I'm not saying that it will, but let's assume that it is, it's certainly a setback. If it is endorsed by the Supreme Court, it's a huge setback for the Republicans, who withheld votes on this thing for one main reason. They wanted to defeat him in his reelection bid. So this has just got all sorts of fishhooks in it, and people are beginning to wonder what the implications are, and we'll find out 10 o'clock on Thursday. It's going to be one way or the other.
We had Tom Watkins on the show this morning. He thinks that the governor is going to regret signing that no-helmet law for motorcycles. You agree?
I don't think the governor has regrets. I think when he does something, I think he knows that he was right. The question that he has not answered, and because nobody's asked him, is what was the data he was looking at that led him to that conclusion? Because all the other data that is out there, and I'm sure Mr. Watkins probably cited that, suggests that it's kind of a risky thing. The motorcycle guys are very happy about half of them are going brainless, bucketless, and the rest are. And that's about what it has been in other states. So I don't think he has any buyer's remorse on this thing. The media will continue to monitor this, and every motorcycle accident will now be reported as were they or weren't they, pretty much like we do with seatbelts.
Well, I was talking with my wife last night about today's show, and she wanted me to ask you about the energy ballot issue. It seems like
you got to be kidding.
That's kind of a well.
Wait a minute. The Conleys are sitting at home having a glass of wine, and your wife says, "Hey, the next time you talk to Skubick, ask him this."
Actually, we were at a watering hole in Williamston. The kids are gone at camp, so we were out there having a frosty, cool one. We're talking politics. I know it sounds boring and crazy.
No, I love politics,
but that's what we were doing.
All right, okay. So what's your wife's name?
Julie.
Okay. Hey, sweetheart. I have no idea.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. There's a big news conference on that today. Obviously, this you know, there's a lot of folks that don't like getting that much renewable energy, and there's some people that say we can't get there. Obviously, DTE and Consumers Energy are not too happy about this thing. So I think this one's going to be on the ballot, Tony. I think they've got enough signatures, and Michigan voters are going to have a real challenge in the fall. We're going to have, I think, maybe four or five significant ballot proposals that may be in front of them, and I just hope everybody does their homework.
Okay, which are?
I'm sorry?
Which are?
Well, the emergency manager thing, unless the courts toss it out, will be on there. The collective bargaining issue will be there unless the courts toss it out. Legalized marijuana will not be there. You got this 25 energy thing. You got the casino issue, which affects DeWitt Township. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be there, and it'll be interesting to see how the voters do on picking and choosing on this stuff.
There's going to be some interesting races for state representatives in the mid-Michigan area. Which one should we be watching the closest, you think?
Well, I think most of the ones in this area are pretty gone conclusions that the districts are either Republican or Democrat, so there's not really any major competition. But the bigger issue is control of the House. And the question is, can the Democrats pick up 13 seats to get that to that magic number of 57 in order to control the House? It's a long stretch. I'm not saying they can't do it. I think the parameters for doing it are there, but each one of these districts is an individual issue, and well, the Democrats think they've got they're going to have the Republicans on the ropes on raising the taxes on senior citizens, and they may have something there. They think they may have the Republicans on the ropes for cutting back on school spending, even though there was a slight increase in the budget that the governor will sign this afternoon. And then you have this little flap that occurred on the censoring of lawmakers. I don't think that controls the House control, but it will be one other thing that the Democrats will throw into the hopper, hoping that some of this stuff sticks. So I think it's competitive. I think it's the Republicans to lose. The dynamics are there where they could, but I think it's probably a stretch.
What do you think about the change in leadership we have with the DNR?
Well, the untold story there is I guess the gentleman who was there was not getting the job done, and of course the governor would never publicly announce that. He just found another job for him, and the new guy they brought in from agriculture is getting high marks, so that was a good change. But, you know, this sort of stuff happens in administrations. Granholm got rid of her welfare director because she just really wasn't getting the job done, and that gave rise to the famous line from Granholm, "She was a valuable member of my cabinet." This governor has not been silly enough to come up with some sort of a line like that. So they did it very quietly, very discreetly, and just moved the guy out.
All right. So let's just say the bridge gets built, and we get through the summer, and we get into November. What's the next big thing on Governor Snyder's agenda?
Well, first of all, the bridge is not going to be built within 1 year, okay? You're assuming a lot there, okay? There's a lot of legal hoops that have to be gone through. I think at the very best, last time I talked to him about it, a shovel in the ground maybe sometime next year. So that still will remain a priority for him. He's not out of the woods yet on this thing. And there's going to be a ballot proposal on that thing in November, which he has to worry about. He's on his plan to reinvent Michigan. He's not there yet. He has made some cultural changes. The fact that they're signing the budget this afternoon, long before the October 1st deadline, is a cultural change, much to the chagrin of the Capitol Press Corps, because we love covering lawmakers as they miss deadlines and shut the government down. It's a good little story. But on this guy's watch, that simply is not going to happen again. He just won't allow it to happen.
Well, go ahead. Continue.
Well, there's some maneuvering around to make government, state government, more responsive to his word, customers, and I think that's still a work in progress for him. But he's moving along pretty good. I would say I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, what's that major thing that's sitting out there? I don't think he's got one right now. Don't worry, he'll find one.
I think voting this November is going to be fascinating because we've got a lot of stuff to think about.
Indeed, and the byplay between he and Mitt Romney is an interesting story to keep your eye on. The next time the kids are at camp and you're talking to your wife about politics, ask her what she thinks about the presidential race vis-a-vis Rick Snyder. We had four pollsters on our off-the-record show the other day, and this is an interesting, and they believe that there could be Snyder coattails in this race. Now, doesn't that sound far-fetched? It's usually the presidential candidate has coattails, but here's the theory. The governor is doing quite well in this state, turning the economy around. Mitt Romney cannot come into Michigan and say, "Hey, Michigan's economy is coming back. See what a good boy am I?" He had nothing to do with it. So what he would do is he would hook his wagon to Rick Snyder and say, "You know what? What Rick Snyder did in Michigan, I'll do at the national level. I'll cut your taxes. I'll reduce the size of government." That's about the only story that he's got. So as Rick Snyder goes, so goes Mitt Romney. It's an interesting political theory, and it actually might have some gravitas.
You know, it's something me and my wife were talking about a couple of weeks ago. I thought there are a lot of similarities between those two, how they conduct business. You got two bean-counting businessmen who, yep, you know, aspire to greater things.
Well, they do, and if you listened carefully, Romney did change his tune when he was in DeWitt here last week, because when he came into LCC a couple of months ago, Mr. Snyder introduced him and said, "Wow, Michigan's really doing great," and Romney came out and said, "Wow, we're really in trouble." It was an absolute disconnect on message. This time, Romney came in and basically said what I just told you. I'll do what Governor Rick Snyder has done. So there's been a subtle yet important message change. But yet these are two different guys. You can approach Governor Snyder, and he is accessible. He does not live in the bubble. Mitt Romney lives in the bubble. You can't get through to this guy. I've got somebody in the campaign that I know that I want to interview to do a story on, because I think it's a cute little angle and an interesting angle. And the person said to me, "You know what? I got to run that past Boston. They don't like us talking to the media." There's a huge cultural difference between Rick Snyder and Mitt Romney, and it's palpable.
Well, I can't wait to see that story. What are you going to be working on for Channel 6?
We're going to do this 25-25 thing today, and then we'll be covering the governor's bill signing later on. And I got a couple little snotty questions for him that he'll appreciate.
You, of all people?
I know. And it's only early in the morning,
and,
you know?
And finally, what are you doing for Off the Record? Do you know yet?
We have this pundits, this pollster thing in the can. We had to put it in the can last Friday. We had Bernie Porn. We have Paul King from Marketing Resource. We had Stevie Mitchell from Mitchell Research and Dennis Denno, who just had another poll out this week that says the presidential race in Michigan is a dead heat. So that it was the first time these four guys have sat around the table together on TV, and there was 99 years of polling experience. So it's a pretty good show. I recommend it.
Jeez. A lot of smart guys in one room. I like that.
I know. There was one guy that wasn't so smart, though. But he's working on it.
All right, Tim. Thanks so much.
Okay, man. Hang in there.
That's Tim Skubick.